Thank you for listening to Christian Family Church Podcast. Here at CFC, our mission is to live and communicate the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us. From wherever you're listening, we hope you'll be encouraged by this week's message.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's so good to be together. If I can just grab the pulpit mic, that'd be fantastic. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just pray right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, we just thank you for this time to come together around your word. Lord God, we are so grateful for everything you've done for us, everything that you have given to us, Lord, for life and breath in our lungs, and Lord, for the amazing creation that you have placed us within. And God, even though you hold the heavens in your hand, Lord God, you care about us. And God, I just thank you for every person who can hear my voice right now, whether they be in the room or online or listening to the podcast 5 years from now, God. We just thank you for your love for us. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to open our hearts to you, open our minds to you, Lord, for you to come in like a master surgeon and do your work in us this morning, Lord God. Lord, we just thank you that you are able to do the things that we think are impossible. Lord, you are greater than any other thing, any other power, any other thought, any other anything, Lord. You are greater. And we just come to you this morning and ask that you have your way in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this morning we are continuing to look at the book of Colossians. If you weren't here last week, you would have missed out on the rock, but there are some more available. Exciting news for you. I think there's still something for you there. I said to our boys this morning, I'm like, hey guys, who can remember what I talked about last week? And they're like, Paul. And I said, Michael, how did you remember that? And he's like, the video. I'm like, yeah, good, it worked. And then Joseph said to me, and don't eat too many burgers. Because the things you trust in and the things you do, the little things you do every day, they have an impact on your life every day. And I was so excited. I thought, wow, God, you are amazing. You're a miracle working God that my 7 and 9 year old boys can, the others, I don't know if they're in the room, but it was good. Last week we talked about how God has taken out our stony hearts of sin, as Mike said, and given us a new heart through faith in Jesus Christ. And we talked about how whatever we put our faith in, it changes our lives. If we put our faith in burgers and just eat burgers every day, we'll go where the burgers take us. An early grave, probably. Whatever we put our faith in changes our lives. Let's put our faith in Him day by day, doing the little things day by day to lead us as His love leads us, as we've been singing about it. With Jesus at the center, we can't lose, because we have the victory in Him. Amen. Just before I go any further, I just wanted to mention Matt and Mitty Betcher over there. Great to have these guys. They're the pastors of the Goolwa Church now these days. They're on holidays. And they're going, oh, Andrew, now everyone knows we're pastors. Don't you hate that when you're visiting a church and they say, oh, they're the pastors. But many of you would know Dave and Jenny, who went to Goolwa. And then these great young guys, we're probably the same age. I might be a bit older, maybe. I first really hung out with these guys in Murray Bridge when they were there at the church and serving in kids ministry, I think at the time, in the shed over there. I was over there about 10 years ago and spent a couple of days with the guys in Murray Bridge and was really blessed. And I believe actually we're still being impacted by that time I got to spend with you guys over there as a church, and really thankful for their church. But then they've gone off and sown themselves into Goolwa, and God's doing great things in Goolwa. Dave and Jenny have retired into Adelaide, and anyway, great to have you with us, guys. Before I jump into the Word, I want to make a confession this morning, and you're all going, oh, what's he going to say? It's not too heavy. I just want to put that out there now. It's with things that have been going on, I don't want to get your heart beating too fast, but I have a confession. Many of you would know I love bike riding. I do love riding my bike, and I've done a lot of racing over the years in the past. I've raced all over Victoria and had a lot of fun racing my bike. And I just want to confess, maybe admit is a better word. Some of you maybe have even known this to be a true but I did shave my legs back in the day. And someone prayed before the service about some being vulnerable. I'm like, I'm just putting it out there right now. I'm confessing. I hope you don't think any less of me right now. I was a bike racer. And I wanted to say that the first time I ever did it was I was racing on the velodrome in Melbourne. It's a wooden board. It's 45 degrees on the ends. And it's the boards, there's cracks between them. And if you crash and you've got hairy legs, it peels off sheets of skin. I'm like, sign me up. I'm shaving my legs. And we've got a photo actually just to prove. No, just kidding. But there's another part to this confession. I have to admit, I have to acknowledge, over the past 9 months, I have been committed to try and get as strong as I am able after surgery to recover as quick as I can and develop strength. And I praise God for what I've been able to do. And last week, as I said, I did my second race back on the bike, praise be to God. And before that happened, though, I just want to sort of give my backstory, I'll give my excuses. I'm part of the organising team, part of the club that helps organise the races, and we've got people travelling from Melbourne to Warrnambool and Ballarat and all sorts of different places to race with us. And I'm like, I want to fit in. I want to look like one of the guys. Like, I've had this surgery and my leg's got a big dip in it now, but I'm doing it. And I did it again. I shaved my legs again. I confess. I just wanted to fit in. I just wanted to be one of the guys. And some of you have seen me on a Tuesday morning on my day off. I often get out with a bunch of guys and we ride for 50 Ks or so and then we all go and have coffees together. It's fantastic. Just one of the boys on the bike and we chat and then we stop for coffee with those guys that go click, 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 click in our fancy bike shoes and we all sit there in our Lycra shivering away in the cold, sipping our coffees. And it's so cool to be one of the boys again. But I say all that for this reason. I wonder, have you ever felt like you don't fit in? I wonder if you've ever felt like, or maybe I should ask, when was the last time, I wonder, when you felt like you didn't fit in? Because it can be a really lonely journey. You know, it's great to be one of the click-clack boys who hop into the cafe and sip my latte, but you know, you can be there, you can be amongst the crowd, you can be one of the people in the room. But sadly, we can still feel like sometimes that we don't fit in, that we don't really belong there. Maybe it's at work. You've got the job, you're doing the job, but you feel like a fake. You feel like you don't even know what you're doing. You've got the qualification, but hey, this is out of your league. Maybe it's at school. Maybe it's in your friendship group. You just feel like a fake. You're trying to fit in, and it's hard. Maybe it's at home. Maybe it's even here at church, and I just acknowledge and want to encourage you. If you don't feel like that right now, realize that someone else in this room right now is feeling like that. And have love and compassion and seek to love and encourage that person even today. But this morning as we open up to the book of Colossians, as we look at what Paul says to the people of Colossae, at who Jesus is, I believe we are going to be greatly encouraged, not just about who he is, but who we are in Christ. Not about who we could become, not about what we might be one day, but who we are, who God says that we are today. You know, Paul writes to the people of Colossae. As I said last week, he hadn't been there. He hadn't been able to preach the gospel to them originally. That was someone else's privilege. But he writes to encourage them and also to correct or to bring some alignment to say there's some false teachings going around and they aren't true. The gospel is the truth. And number one, that some people were teaching that Jesus isn't who he said he was. They were saying, yeah, Jesus was a great teacher. Maybe he was a prophet, but he wasn't God. And Paul's saying, no, that is a lie. Secondly, that they were maybe preaching the gospel, but then saying, but you know what? You also need to obey all of these traditions. You need to obey these festivals. You need to be circumcised. You need to do all these things as well. And they're kind of adding to the gospel what they must do. And Paul's saying, no. And we're going to look more at that over the coming weeks. There's some that seem to have been deceived into worshipping angels. And Paul is saying, no, Jesus is our Savior. There is no other one. There's no special group. There's no special ones that have this special blessing and the rest of us kind of just have to make do. This gospel is for all people and it is through faith that we are saved. So let's jump in to Colossians chapter 1 and read from where we left off last week in verse 15. We're going to read from verse 15 to 20 right now. It says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. I love that, in the unseen world. Before this was written in the first century, they didn't have microscopes and telescopes and tiny, intricate biology study stuff. But God created it all. The things that we never knew existed and we still don't even know existed. The gravity and the things that we can't see and understand. God created it all. Verse 17, he existed before anything else and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who will rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Point number one, Jesus is no fake. Jesus is the real deal. He is the Messiah. He is God in human flesh, come to save humanity from our sin. He is God. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior, come to rescue you and I. He is no fake. Jesus often referred to himself as the Son of Man, which really upset the Pharisees because they understood, they knew the context of that phrase. They knew the reference in Daniel 7 and Ezekiel, that God speaks to Ezekiel, and the reference to the Son of Man was to say that he knew he was the Savior, and the Pharisees didn't like it. In John 8, Jesus used the very same phrase that God gave of himself in Genesis, I am, before Abraham was, I am. And again, the Pharisees got pretty mad. Jesus is God. Jesus is an equal part of the triune Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity. These three are one. Verse 15, it says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Let that sink in for a moment. The God who created all things chose to come into the world he created. He walked and lived among his people he created. What kind of a loving, amazing, wonderful God he is. He existed before anything was created and is supreme. He is supreme over all creation. For through him, Jesus, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. I wonder if you've got a favorite band, a favorite artist, a song. Maybe it's the Beatles. Maybe it's that girl who sang everywhere, Taylor Swift. Lady, girl, person. I wonder if you've got a favorite band or artist or a favorite song. Imagine one day you got to catch up with that person, sit down and have a coffee with them. You walk in the room, you sit down, you look at them. Just imagine for a moment that you said to them, you know what, I like your music, but you're not that impressive. I've got other stuff to do, sorry. I'll see you later. It's like, come on. It's like, I know some people in the room, if you got to sit down and the Beatles were there with you, you would be staying for a long coffee. Like, it would be a big one. To say to the artist that I love your art, but you're pretty ordinary. It's like, where did it come from? This person was inspired. They created this thing. You know, sadly, in the world we live in, some people worship the creation. They worship the planet. They worship the things that God has made. But they look at the creator and go, haven't got much time for you, sorry. I love this, but not interested. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 to 20. Let's read it. It says, "This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress." That word suppress means to push it down, to shove it aside. Who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. God has created an amazing, intricate, beautiful, stunning world for us to live in. Everything he's created is a gift for us. Every breath we have is a gift from him. But so many people refuse to acknowledge him, to turn and worship the one who is supreme above all things. Point number two, all creation exists for his glory. All creation exists for his glory. It is intended for his glory. Jesus holds all creation together. Have a listen to how John records it in John 1, verse 1 to 4. "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through him. And nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone." And a little bit later, it's kind of like almost in case you just didn't quite get what I was saying, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. His name is Jesus." In Genesis, we read that God says, "Let us create." And the "us" is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus was there in the beginning. Jesus didn't kind of appear when he was born on the earth. Jesus has been since the beginning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we see in Colossians 1:18, "Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who arise from the dead. So he is first in everything." Point number three, Jesus is supreme over all things. He is supreme. That word supreme means the highest in rank, the highest in authority. He is supreme over all things. And no matter what you face today, Jesus is greater. He is higher. He is more powerful. He is more wonderful. And he is able to help you through whatever you are going through. Those of you online have seen some of the prayer requests, even this morning in the comments. I love the fact that online people can put in a prayer request and we are praying with you. God is able to do what we've thought is impossible. Whatever we face, Jesus is supreme over those things. He is greater. He's already won the victory, as we talked about last week. I kind of think that we should, like the chess coach did last week in that video we saw for those who were here, he just wipes out and sweeps the board. We need to ask God to just sweep the board in our mind, all the things that we see, all the obstacles, the things that we see that we think makes us lose. But God wants to wipe the board and say, "No, it is finished. You've been washed clean. You are righteous and holy because of what I've done for you." He is supreme. Does anyone like pizza? I like a good pizza. Not too greasy, nice thick crust, so you get a bit of, you know, carbs. I'm a cyclist. And I've got to tell you, if you're ordering me pizza and I'm not there, please don't get margarita. Like, that's not a pizza. Some of you, oh, Andrew, that's terrible. Like, if you're going to order pizza, I've got to say, you got to get Supreme. Supreme, like, why would you go anywhere else? It has everything, all the good stuff, all every flavor you could desire, and absolutely pineapple. Please, come on, people. I knew someone would do that. It's like, it has everything. It's Supreme. It's wonderful. Every good flavor is on there. It's amazing. Jesus is supreme over everything. He has every good thing we need. He is the source of every good thing. And next time you go and order pizza, I pray and hope that you will think, Jesus is supreme. I've got to go supreme. Every good thing comes from Him. He is supreme. He is able. Let's keep reading from verse 19. For God in all His fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through Him God reconciled everything to Himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. What does this mean? It means despite our arrogance, our pride, our rudeness, despite our sin, our shame, our whatever it is, you fill in the blank. Through faith in Jesus' sacrifice for us, we have forgiveness. We are made whole. We have the victory. We are whole. We belong. We are complete in Him. Through faith in Jesus, we have been washed clean and we belong in His family. We have hope in this life and for the life to come. No matter what we face, we can have peace, we can have joy through every part of the journey. And here it is. If you haven't heard anything else I've said this morning, tune your ears in now. Because, you know, we can talk about the supremacy of Christ. We can talk about the sufficiency of His sacrifice for us. We can know all these things to be true. But if we miss this next point, then you've just disregarded the whole thing. Here it is. If you've ever felt like a fake, if you've ever felt like you don't belong, if you've felt like you're inferior, that you are not good enough, listen to this verse. Verse 21, he says, this includes you. This includes you. Because, you know, we can talk about God's love. We can talk about what He has done. We can talk about His supreme over all creation, that He is the sufficient sacrifice for our sin. But if we don't recognize that this is for us, we've missed the point. We can talk about it. We can. This includes you. I want you to stretch your hands up in the sky for a second. Have a little stretch. You know, Andrew's been talking a long time. Now put one hand down and now put four fingers down and leave your pointer up in the air. And now do a big spaghetti and go like this and say, this includes me. This includes you. I want you to hear that because Jesus is supreme over all creation. Jesus is supreme over all creation. Jesus is the all-sufficient Savior. He has done it all, and He did it for you. He loves you. On the cross, He thought of every one of us who would ever sin, and He died in our place as a sacrifice for our sin. This includes you. And just in case you're wondering, when it says all creation, you are a part of the all creation. You don't get to exclude yourself from the all creation. All creation has been created through Him and for His glory. You exist for His glory. I won't make you do the spaghetti thing again and point at yourself, but you exist for God's glory. Maybe you've never recognized it before. Maybe you've come in here this morning, you're here for the very first time, and you're thinking, I exist for the glory of God? This guy is a whack. It's true. You may not know it yet, but God loves you. God is calling you to know His love for you and to be changed, to be renewed, to be washed clean, that you might have the peace and the joy and the hope that He died for you to have. I'm going to ask the band to come. You've been created by Him. You've been created for Him. and He loves you. He's wiped the board clean. I just want to read by reading the next section of Colossians chapter 1 in verse 21 to 23 as we come to a close. Oops, that's John, but I read Colossians. Colossians 1 verse 21 to 23. This includes you, who were once far away from God. You were His enemies, separated from Him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now, not in some future point, yet now He has reconciled you to Himself through the death of Christ in His physical body. As a result, He has brought you into His own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before Him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and firmly stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. In other words, don't listen to all those new teachings and things that are coming and trying to sway you to the left or the right and saying, no, you need faith and this other thing. Trust in Jesus. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. Church, Jesus is supreme and sufficient. And you know what? He is supreme and sufficient for you. He is supreme and sufficient for you. My prayer today is that you would know that in your heart. Every feeling of inadequacy, every feeling of inability, that you would know Jesus is supreme and He is sufficient for you. Maybe you've been serving in some way, shape or form here on Sunday mornings. Maybe you've been serving in a kids program, or, you know, we have over 100 volunteers serving through the week here at CFC every week. Maybe you're doing different things, but you feel like a fake. You feel like you've been doing the stuff, but you just feel like you don't belong. Recognize and pray, God, let me have revelation that you are supreme and sufficient for me. And church, my final point this morning is that you belong. You belong in the presence of God. God created Adam and Eve. He placed them in the garden. He said, this is very good. He designed you for intimacy with Him. He longs for you to come and say, God, thank you that you would love me. Thank you that you have paid the price that I could be set free. And I belong here with you. You belong. And even if you don't feel like it today, I want to tell you, you belong here in this place with people who love you and a God who gave Himself on a cross and rose again victorious that you could have the victory with Him. Can we stand as we pray together today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord God, I just thank you that we can come to you and you don't require anything plus faith. You don't require faith and shaved legs or lycra. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, you have chosen us. You have called us all to come to you and simply know that you are the supreme and sufficient Savior. Lord, we surrender to you today. God, we give ourselves to you afresh. And Lord, we ask that you would wash away every thought that does not belong to you, every thought that is not of you, God, every lie of the enemy that would want to make us feel like we are inferior, that we don't belong, or whatever it might be, Lord God. And I just pray for just a sense of belonging in your presence today, Lord, that we would just so fall in love with the time we can spend with you day by day. Lord, as we go through the things we do in life, that we would know your presence is with us. For those that are at home on their own this morning, listening in online, God, I just thank you that your presence is with them, that they are not alone because you are with them. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that as we go through this life, that we would know without any shadow of a doubt that we belong to you. And God, that you would give us such a stirring, such a passion for this hope that we have. That just as Paul says that he had been appointed to declare this hope, that God, we would stand up and declare the hope, the good news that you have for all people on this earth, that you love them, that you gave yourself for them, and that you are their hope too for anyone who will call on your name. This morning, if you're in the room today and you feel like, you know what, Andrew, this is all great, but I don't know if it's for me. The Bible says anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you will come to Him with humility and just say, God, I'm sorry for my sin. I don't feel worthy of this love that He's talking about. If you'll simply ask Him, even this morning, maybe you don't understand, just say, God, help me to understand how You could love me. But this morning, if you're in this room and maybe you've drifted from that hope, you've started trusting in other things. This morning, God, we just say, Lord, forgive us. Lord, we come to You right now. Thank You, Jesus. Lord, I just pray that there would be joy instead of mourning, that there would be hope instead of doubt. Lord, there would be confidence instead of condemnation. Because Jesus, You have done it all. You're supreme, You're sufficient. You did it for us and we belong with You. I thank You and we praise You today. In Jesus' name, amen.